am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, September 19th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. As always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic? Well, we are all Maui. That's how wild and dystopic. And we'll talk about that a little bit again this morning. Got a couple of clips for you that are of particular interest, I would say. Before we do the clips, let's talk about the network. This is a special network, I would say. It's unlike anything that I'm aware of that's out there. I joked a little bit yesterday. I don't get invites to things. And for some reason, many people decline invites to this broadcast. I don't think it's just because I'm not a friendly person. I am friendly, at least to some people. I don't have a high, I have a very low tolerance for stupidity and BS. But other than that, I think I'm pretty friendly. So I don't think it's because I'm not friendly. I think this is a place where we don't advance agendas and narratives and things like that. Those things, I think the wheels come off in places like this. And the reason that is so unique and important is, just in a nutshell, sort of what I've described over the last several years, really since before the 2016 election cycle, talking particularly about Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, of course, Why the Worst Get on Top, but also Chapter 11, The End of Truth. And in Chapter 11, Hayek reminds us the moral consequences of totalitarian propaganda, which we must now consider are of a significantly profound kind. They are destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and the respect for truth. To that end, Jay Bhattacharya was interviewed on The Hill recently, and he seemed to sort of speak to that issue going through the COVID shenanigans. The fact that there were a number of things that were censored that didn't necessarily need to be censored. But again, that's something that Hayek discusses in Chapter 11, The End of Truth. The need for totalitarian propaganda to be all-encompassing. For example, this passage. The striving for equality by means of a directed economy can result only in an officially enforced inequality and authoritarian determination of the status of each individual in the new hierarchical order. That are the most humanitarian elements of our morals, the respect for human life, for the weak, for the individual generally disappear in a state of totalitarian propaganda. But backing up, if all the sources of current information are effectively under one single control, it is no longer a question of merely persuading the people of this or that. The skillful propagandist then has power to mold their minds in any direction he chooses, and even the most intelligent and independent people cannot entirely escape that influence if they are long isolated from all other sources of information. While in the totalitarian states, this status of propaganda gives it a unique power over the minds of the people, the peculiar moral effects arise not from the technique, but from the object and scope of totalitarianism.
I can't hear you, Chris.
If it could be confined to to indoctrinating the people, with the whole system of values toward which the social effort is directed,
propaganda would represent merely a particular manifestation of the characteristic features of collectivist morals, which we have already considered. If its object were merely to teach the people a definite and comprehensive moral code, the problem would be solely whether this moral code is good or bad. And so, skipping ahead a little bit, from the nature of its task, totalitarian propaganda cannot confine itself to values, to questions of opinion and moral convictions, in which the individual always will conform more or less to the views ruling his community, but must extend to questions of fact where human intelligence is involved in a different way. This is so, first, because in order to induce people to accept the official values, these must be justified or shown to be connected with the values already held by the people, which usually involve assertions about causal connections between means and ends. And second, because the distinction between ends and means, between the goal aimed at and the measures taken to achieve it, is in fact never so clear-cut and definite as any general discussion of these problems is likely to suggest, and because, therefore, people must be brought to agree not only with the ultimate aims, but also with the views about the facts and possibilities on which the particular measures are based. So totalitarian propaganda is comprehensive in scope. Backing up just a little bit again. So from the outset of the chapter, the most effective way of making everybody serve the single system of ends toward which the social plan is directed is to make everybody believe in those ends. To make a totalitarian system function efficiently, it is not enough that everybody should be forced to work for the same ends. It is essential that the people should come to regard them as their own ends. Although the beliefs must be chosen for the people and imposed upon them, they must become their beliefs. Generally accepted creed, which makes the individuals, as far as possible, act spontaneously in the way the planner wants. If the feeling of oppression in totalitarian countries is, in general, much less acute than most people in liberal countries imagine, this is because the totalitarian governments succeed to a high degree in making people think as they want them to. This is, of course, brought about by various forms of propaganda. Its technique is now so familiar that we need say little about it. The only point that needs to be stressed is that neither propaganda in itself nor the techniques employed are peculiar to totalitarianism. And then what so completely changes its nature and effect in a totalitarian state is that all propaganda serves the same goal, that all the instruments of propaganda are coordinated to influence the individuals in the same direction and to produce the characteristic Gleichaltung, of all minds. As a result, the effect of propaganda in totalitarian countries is different not only in magnitude but in kind from that of the propaganda made for different ends by independent and competing agencies. If all the sources of current information are effectively under one single control, it is no longer a question of merely persuading the people, as I read earlier. It's all-encompassing. And we have seen the push to do just that. There is the subject of myth that I've discussed from fairly recently in Schur's The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, for example. We sort of played around with Wagner's Flight of the Valkyries when we did that. And then there was recently Aaron and Melissa Dykes revisited the subject of myth in the Burning Man video that they did. There was the interview, I forget who was interviewed. The subject of myth is in view again. And so propaganda is obviously essential in myth-making. Just to finish the point, continuing from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth, while the planning authority will constantly have to decide issues on merits about which there exist no definite moral rules, didn't we see that through COVID and we're still seeing that? It will have to justify its decisions to the people, or at least have somehow to make the people believe that they are the right decision. I was thinking about it yesterday with regard to the Maui fire situation and everything that happened before and has happened since. And isn't it interesting, you know, that you have folks like John Pelletier involved? You have people, you know, you have the three major events of the last 20 years in view. There are many others, but September 11, 2001, you have folks who were there. You have the, was it the forensic pathologist now who's on the scene? I think he was a guy who was at Ground Zero on September 11, 2001. And John Pelletier, that was the most significant attack on American soil. Then you had John Pelletier, who was at the Route 91 deal. He is the coroner too, isn't he? If I'm not mistaken, he's the chief of police. He's also the coroner, which is an interesting coincidence. But he presided over the Route 91 Harvest Festival deal, which was the largest mass shooting in American history. Now we have the most catastrophic fire in terms of human life, and these people are there again. So do we say third time is enemy action? It's interesting how the things that we hear. I talked about Orwell and excerpts from Politics in the English Language, and how the great enemy of plain language is insincerity. They give explanations that don't explain, in the words of Fred Hampton. It's interesting how we can never seem to get to the bottom of things. The same folks who couldn't decipher why Stephen Paddock would spend $100,000 on arms and ammunition and canvass the country for a place for over a year to commit some kind of atrocity. They couldn't figure that out. They're probably not going to figure out anything else, because the answers will not be forthcoming. They're not supposed to be. It's their strategy of tension events that seem, whether it's natural or man-made or somewhere in between, we never seem to get answers. But we're supposed to trust the folks that can't seem to get to the bottom of anything. It's a fascinating contradiction. So although those responsible for a decision may have been guided by no more than prejudice, some guiding principle will have to be stated publicly if the community is not merely passively to submit, but actively to support the measure. The need to rationalize the likes and dislikes, which, for lack of anything else, must guide the planner in many of his decisions, and the necessity of stating his reasons in a form in which they will appeal to as many people as possible, will force him to construct theories, i.e. assertions about the connections between facts, which then become an integral part of the governing doctrine, and then to myth. Hayek writes, this process of creating a myth to justify his action need not be conscious. The totalitarian leader may be guided merely by an instinctive dislike of the state of things he has found, and a desire to create a new hierarchical order which conforms better to his conception of merit. He may merely know that he dislikes the Jews, who seem to be so successful in an order which did not provide a satisfactory place for him, and that he loves and admires the tall blonde man, the aristocratic figure of the novels of his youth. So he will readily embrace theories which seem to provide a rational justification for the prejudices which he shares with many of his fellows. Thus, a pseudoscientific theory becomes part of the official creed, which to a greater or lesser degree directs everybody's action. Or the widespread dislike of the industrial civilization and a romantic yearning for country life, together with a probably erroneous idea about the special value of country people as soldiers, provide the basis for another myth, Blut und Boden, blood and soil, expressing not merely ultimate values, but a whole host of beliefs about cause and effect, which, once they have become ideas directing the activity of the whole community, must not be questioned. And we're seeing that happen in America.
Did you know
in a very,
the IRS publicly
very
that income
disturbing
tax
sort
is
of way?
Collected by voluntary compliance.
There have been many warning signs along the way.
You
but,
avoid income tax
this
with
happen.
These
and the reason
easy
that
steps.
RBN
all you have to do is go to
avoidincometax.com
to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income
kind of
tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help
you.
We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Just to finish that thought, I think that RBN is a special place. If you go back and listen to the old broadcasts from the beginning, you know, you listen to John Stadmiller, you listen to Jack Otto, some of those original broadcasts, I think you'll get a sense of what I mean. I think this is a special place. It feels perhaps discordant sometimes, in a sense, maybe. There is no continuity that I'm aware of. Maybe I'm just not invited to the party. Maybe I'm the odd guy out. I don't think so, though. I know that I have never been directed in any sort of way. My understanding is that no one else has been. And the reason that I read the excerpt from Hayek's Road to Serfdom to begin today's broadcast is to say that my experience has been this is a place that is antithetical to those efforts. And so Hayek puts it very succinctly in a nuanced sort of way. You can get sucked into the tractor beam of narrative and myth-making by accident. I think it happens here from time to time, but far less than most places. And so we ask questions, we try to get to the bottom of things, again, because you can handle the truth. And I think that's why people appreciate this network. So, with that said, there are bills to pay. We do not have a Ford Foundation grant. I suspect we never will. I don't think that Oprah and Dwayne Johnson are going to rush to the aid of Republic Broadcasting Network. So, it is a listener-supported network. And your support is greatly appreciated. So if you support the network, thank you. Your support is greatly appreciated. If you have in the past and do not currently, I would encourage you to revisit that. Consider supporting the network. And if you haven't and you find this network valuable, please consider supporting the network because it exists due to listener support. Cannot exist without listener support. So it is it's pretty amazing what happens with the footprint that RBN maintains. So I think that's probably enough on that for now, anyway. And I think that Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth, is a fitting contrast to RBN because the motto here, obviously, is because you can't handle the truth. And we live in an age where there are forces that are trying to engage in narrative and myth-making in an effort to do some very sinister things. I put it very succinctly. I think that it all comes down to Genesis chapter 11, a return to Genesis chapter 11, the finishing of the great unfinished work there, the Tower of Babel, that concept, at least conceptually, speaking of myth-making, building a tower to heaven and overthrowing God. It sounds strange to most people if you just say it like that, but when you start to unpack it a little bit, it makes a lot of sense, I think. But there are stages and degrees and levels and things that are involved, and that's why I say we are all Maui. What's happening to Maui, the folks on Maui, And especially the folks in Lahaina, I think is really representative of what is happening here in America and around the world. This, I would call it the Hellenistic impulse that is that is seeking to assimilate everything to itself and then impart back to people everywhere only that which it wants us to know and to remember. It's the Orwellian concept of there is no past or future. There's only the constant present that's always changing, the ever-changing present. We certainly saw that through COVID. So we'll get to the clip in the next segment. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model Easy 4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Without further ado, so the clip we're going to play is titled "Heal." No, that's not it. So discussing the Hawaiian heritage, particularly of the Kanaka Maoli, the co-founder of Maui Medics Healers, Hui Noelani Ahia, actually joined Nick Estes over at the Red Nation podcast. And so this video is an excerpt from that interview. And
We'll play a couple of these, I think, during today's broadcast. But I think if you listen carefully, this is about an 8-minute clip, a little bit longer. If you listen carefully, you'll understand why I say that we are all Maui these days. I mean, we just marked the 22nd anniversary of what happened on September 11, 2001. And over the last 3+ years now, we've had some interesting reminders of those kinds of things. So anyway, it's a 6-minute clip. So we'll do that. And then we'll go from there. So can we play that, please?
I was just curious, is there a group that's coalescing to sort of challenge the exploitation of this disaster and this catastrophe for these big developers?
Yeah, I'll tell you, every Kanaka Maoli who's done even a fraction of work around decolonization in their minds and work to shed some of the forced assimilation is ready for a fight. Like, the whole community, all of Hawaii actually is ready with their go bag when they get the kahea, when they get the call, because we are not going to let that happen, like, literally over our dead body, because, and even more literally, over the bodies of our ohana who perished in that fire, which is a whole nother piece that disaster capitalist leaves out of the question. Is it even appropriate to build on top of this very, very hallowed ground that not only has the bones of our ancestors for 1,000 years, but has the bones and ashes of our ohana who perished on August 8th? And that is a serious question that we all have to ask when we talk about rebuilding, whatever that means. I think our Kanaka people, the people that I speak to, are very clear that Lahaina will not be rebuilt as a resort town, that we will look to our past. We have a saying, ikawa ma mua, ikawa ma hope. If you want to move forward, you must look to the past, because that's where the wisdom, the ike, and the lessons are. And that will help give us the vision to guide us forward. But that being said, I caretake a kupuna, an elder, who lost his collection of artifacts and carvings in the fire, and he was devastated. But the next morning, he had a dream or a vision overnight, and he woke up and he said, "I was dreaming of seeds. I'm dreaming that we're planting seeds in the ash, planting the seeds of our ulu and our kalo and our medicines so that the next generation can have life." And we go back to this thinking before, where we were talking about feeding. It's always about feeding in our culture. How can we feed? Because that's what gives us life and promotes life. So for this 85-year-old to have that kind of wisdom, I think many of us are holding on to that and looking at, when the time is right, how are we going to restore the waters? How are we going to get all that water from the mountain to come down and get back into our streams so that we can replant our lo'i kalo once that aina is safe to do so and determined to not be toxic? How are we going to restore Mokuhinia, the wetlands, and all of the other wetlands along that shore that were filled in for American recreation, paved over for businesses, and for, you know, commodification culture? So there's many different groups. There is no one Hawaiian, you know, group, just like there's no one American group or one anything group, right? Like, we come together and we stand shoulder to shoulder when we need to. We all have different ways of looking at how to do that. But the important thing is that we're all at the table. And the important thing really is that it's at our own table, that we make our own table. And if those other guys are lucky, we'll let them come sit at it. I mean, really, that's the way this has to go down, because they will not, the settler government systems will not acquiesce. The master's tools can never dismantle the master's house. But we have the opportunity right now to show them a different way. We're showing the world a different way, that by having this, building these communities of care where we're taking care of one another, where we're meeting each other's needs. And, you know, if the government wants to support us and throw us some funds, cool. But we don't need that. We have all made pilina and relationships in Hawaii and outside of Hawaii and have gotten so much support. If we needed to do it without them, we could. Because we did for 1,000 years. And that's the whole thing, that the settler ideology is to create systems of dependence on them instead of interdependence on the things that have always cared for us, like our aina and our vai and our kai, our ocean water. So, yeah, we're ready. We're ready. But, you know, the government is definitely making moves for a big development. I mean, even before the fires happened, my partner lives in Lahaina Town, lost his house. And it was a very old family home, but the land goes back in the family, like long before the house was ever there for, you know, multiple generations. And, you know, when people say they're from Lahaina, they mean like they're from Lahaina, genealogically connected for generations. And I won't even say I'm from Lahaina because I wasn't raised there, but my genealogy goes back there 22 generations. So we, you know, we have our sense of place based on all of these different factors and how close we are to a place. But, you know, they've had people approaching them for years, offering millions of dollars for their land. And they absolutely will not sell. They absolutely will not, because you can't get the land back once they take it like that, you know, unless there's something catastrophic again. So land is everything for us, you know, and land is the foundation of settler colonialism, right? They need to get the land. If they can get the land, then they can control everything else, and they can control us, and they can make us dependent on them through their capitalist system, because now we have to buy their goods and services because we're not able to do it anymore because they've stolen the land and the water. So the goal is always to get back the land, get back the water, and be in those right relationships with that and rebuild those connections and remember those stories and those mo'olelo that our ancestors left for us.
So there you go. Imagine if the American people in general were that steadfast and resolute. And I would add that the reason, you know, there are so many reasons why the Maui story is so important, and it can't leave our front of mind. But I think arguably the most important reason that bad guys will make sure this goes one direction and one direction only, that we'll try anyway, is because if there is a reversal in Maui, you can expect a reversal in all kinds of places. You know, the Native American population in the continental United States, for example, and beyond. So if this doesn't go one direction in Maui, it could open the floodgates, and there could be a reversal in the colonial impulse. It's interesting that the Fabian bent has been at work behind the scenes and has given the impression or created the illusion that it maybe doesn't exist anymore, maybe is a kinder, gentler impulse, but it still is very much alive behind the scenes. And America, you know, the more that you kind of step back and take the long view of history over the last 500 years or so, Alan Watt used to remind us of the idea of what Kelly Greenhill calls coercive engineered migration, and to push people into different places. And it's interesting to listen to someone, in this case, Noelani Ahia, speak so articulately about what they're experiencing and the way that this impulse works, colonialization in this case. And it's, you know, freedom of the press is reserved for those who own one, and the victors write history. We've seen that in real time in our lifetime, in the last several lifetimes, as I've talked about recently. And these people are standing in opposition to those efforts, as they always have, for the most part. And so, you know, we all, I think, are somewhat not just interconnected, but kind of obligated almost in this story. It affects us all. And, you know, Pastor Martin Niemöller's expression comes to mind. If we don't all stand up and speak for the people of Maui, then who will be there to speak for us? And that's what's happening. This massive assimilation. I mean, the forces that stand behind the Yuval Noah Hararis, you know, when Harari says that we're all just algorithms to be hacked, and that machines can know us better than we know ourselves as long as they have a little bit of data and a little bit of computing power. To assimilate everyone and to direct us, you know, the Google selfish ledger concept, or, you know, what happened at Cambridge Analytica and those kinds of things, telling us that these are, you know, these are good things. I mean, again, it reminds me, as I've said many times, it reminds me of the stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. And there's a sort of suicidal element to it, too. We're supposed to shut up, be quiet, and it'll all be over soon. That's the impression you get with the folks in Maui when Governor Josh Green says before he gets into office that he'll use emergency proclamations and his executive power to break the logjam in building, because, you know, housing is a crisis and there was no emergency, but he declared an emergency proclamation and created a committee for this thing in advance of the fires. And it's interesting to note that the 2018 fires in Maui stopped a couple hundred yards before Lahaina, and the most recent fires, the August 2023 fires, started where the 2018 fire stopped. So I wonder why that is. And then there's the gentleman who owns the land there. Why is it overgrown? A lot of people want to know why that is. There are a lot of forces that sort of, you know, the perfect storm was created there. So how did that happen? And why? And I think this is a microcosm of what we are all dealing with. Which is why I think it's imperative that we all decide for ourselves where we stand on this issue. You know, in similar fashion, it reminds me of what happened during COVID. I remember in the early days of the COVID shenanigans, March 16, I think 2020 was the big day where, you know, 2 weeks to slow the spread started. But then by April, and certainly by May, even really by March, we kind of knew where this was headed. And I was saying in those early days that we're all getting the Africa treatment. We're all getting the Palestine treatment, or the Palestinian treatment. We're all getting the Native American treatment. We're all Native Americans now. And this is just another installment in that saga. And, you know, there are people who say we all have choices to make, and the choices that we make individually when we are not mass psycho-engineered are what change things. We heard Noelani Ahia talking there about how the idea is to get people off the land, get people away from the water, and then you can sell them everything. I remember, having been born in Montana and growing up back and forth between Montana and other places. I remember around high school age in the 80s hearing talk of selling people water, and that just sounded like the craziest thing ever. And now we hear that folks at Stanford are gaming the concept of the subscription-based economy. Everything is, you know, which reminds me, maybe we should play that commercial, the news clip about the Mercedes subscription. Maybe we'll do that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
States.
With
anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
hurts a lot less time.
Segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Indeed, you know, as you heard in the commercial, support the network and support those who support the network. I think that's a great thing. You know, there is a psychological warfare, fourth generation, fifth generation warfare kind of tactic, I suppose, at work that would seek to demoralize people in all matters that are in question, I suppose. Really, again, you know, same as the totalitarian propaganda and the end of truth, the idea that there is anything apart from the corporate monolith, you know, the idea that there is anything outside of the nanny state that will provide everything for you, all of your needs, which I think gets to a very spiritual issue. We're not supposed to know about any of that. And again, you know, we heard Noelani Ahia talking about that, the idea that people are dissuaded and discouraged from being self-sufficient. It's not just in Maui that that has happened. There's another clip that I want to play in the second hour where, well, I don't want to give away too much, but, it's very provocative. And it should really get us scratching our heads. It's interesting. People, I think, are starting to consider the possibility that maybe it's not that overwhelming to, you know, get rid of the bioengineered food ingredients and go back to growing things themselves, for example. It's hard to escape that influence. We talked about that before. Maybe I'll touch on that a little bit for a minute, but people are, I think, considering the possibility once again that maybe they can feed themselves and take care of themselves. Maybe we don't have to rely on the corporate monolithic nanny state for everything. Second hour coming up right after this break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.